What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Salmson. With me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up, everybody? Good to be back. Another week. This is our, what, third or fourth straight week? Look at us go.
Yeah, you know, playoff push has us working overtime.
Yeah, pretty much. Things are going pretty good. I mean, there's not too much on the agenda besides the Rangers coming out at home at MSG up 2-0, which is huge.
I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and I definitely didn't think it was going to be 2-0 going back to Carolina.
No. I thought it'd be a split both ways. I mean, to do that is massive because now you get one in Carolina, you have two shots at home to win.
Yeah, last night's game, I can't, like, we'll just jump right into it. I can't begin to, like, really explain, I guess, like, the elation I felt after. Like, I don't know, you've probably experienced this watching Islanders games, but there's, like, that was a game where I walked away and I'm like, I'm happy. I'm very just, like, happy with that win. It was all I was thinking about last night. I had a dream about the Rangers last night. I've never in my life dreamt about this team, but I was so hyped up after that win. I had a dream about the team last night. I won't divulge what the dream was about. We'll see if it comes true in June. But
I thought you were hitting me in another direction there.
Oh no. Yeah, I was out. I somehow I ended up on one of the parade floats, and was just like hanging out with all the team. So kind of sick. You know, fingers fucking crossed.
If that comes true, then this
podcast is going to the moon if that's true, dude. We're inking an 8-year deal with MSG.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better though than those double OT wins, especially in a big game. You know, you're at home. Like, the Islanders have had their fair share of those over the last few playoff runs. It's just like, it's no better feeling when you're like basically just like clutching on for dear life to your couch, like waiting for every single puck to drop, every single like little breakaway, third period last game, even before it got to the second OT, like Jarvis, 1 minute left, 2-on-1, like,
oh my god, I mean, like,
it's insane.
I was legit watching on the, so the overtime, I was standing watching TV because I was watching it on my couch, and then I eventually moved to standing like probably 4 feet off the TV, and then I couldn't stand anymore. So I was literally like a little kid. I was sitting on the floor, like either like laying down, crisscross, like on my side, like just like wincing every time they would get a shot, and every time Carolina had a shot. I mean, like, I'm looking at the stats now. Carolina had 57 shots on goal at the end of that game. I think 120 shot attempts.
Those pesky Hurricanes.
I knew going into this series, like, just based on conversations that we had and just like watching them, and you know, they love to shoot the puck. Like, if they're gonna do anything, they're just gonna pepper you with shots. But the fact that Igor, like, he played out of his mind. I mean, like, 54 saves, just, again, like, continuing the streak. I think he's got 28 or 29 games where he's...
I thought it was like 28 now, yeah.
It's 28. It was either at 28 or it jumped to 28 where he's let in 3 or less goals, which is just, like,
it's
insane.
Only like it's him, Watt, like, I don't know who the third guy was. There was somebody else on that list where it's very impressive. I mean, he's... Yeah, as long as you get 3 goals or less, you have a lot of chances to win games, man. It's at least get him to OT most of the time.
And I think the big thing with Carolina right now, that's really, I think, like, concerning. And I did the stats. I got my notepad here. I did a deep dive. Carolina power play opportunities. I'm going to run by everything. because this is the reason why they're down 2-0 in the series. But I'm just going to go back. We're going to go back to round one. We're going to visit round one again.
We don't have to.
Game one, round one. Game one, round one. Three power plays, one power play goal. Game two.
Which was
five power plays, one power play goal. Game three. Two power plays, zero goals. Power play goals.
Yeah. Game let's four. Go Islanders, baby.
Game four. Four power plays, two power play goals. Game five. Two power plays, asterisk. One was a penalty shot. Two power play goals. One was a penalty shot.
Unbelievable.
Game one, round two. Six power plays. Zero power play goals. Game two, round two. Five power plays. Zero power play goals. So in two games, you've had 11 power plays and have not been able to convert on any of them. On the other side of things, the Rangers have had 9 power plays and have scored on 4 of them. That's why that's you're losing in the series so far.
Yeah.
Like, that is just insane. Even if, you know, you score on half of them, the ones that you've gotten so far in the series, it's 2-0 Carolina, no doubt about it. Like, no questions asked. It's 2-0 Carolina.
Or at least so one. Far, I mean, just if you, like, get some goals. I mean, they from what I watched last night, they didn't have many chances. I mean, the Rangers are very aggressive on the penalty kill, and they really didn't give Carolina any time to do anything, especially that second group. Like, there's a few times, like, in the overtimes where the first unit didn't get anything done, and then the second unit came out and kind of, like, swarmed Tony DeAngelo at the blue line, and he made a lot of mistakes out there, and it just deflated their second unit. So credit to the Rangers PK.
The Rangers PK is insane, but I think it either happened twice in both games or once in both games. But I think it happened twice in both games. Carolina has been on a power play, or no, it happened only twice. They've been on a power play where they take a penalty early on and then essentially negates their power play. They did it in game one. Svechnikov did it in game one. I think someone else did it in game two, like 6 seconds into a power play. So, like, that's also going to bite
them
in the
ass. Those are killers.
Yeah. So
that's
far,
that's an offer on the power play right there. I mean,
yeah. So you're so 7 games so far you've played that they've played in the playoffs. They've had 27 power play opportunities. They have only scored 6 power play goals. So
all against New York Islanders.
So I mean, like, that sways a game. So to your point about the Rangers penalty killers, they had mentioned this on the broadcast. It was on Chicklets today when I was listening to Chicklets. Biz had pointed out that the Rangers do a really good job of keeping Carolina outside of the middle of the ice. And on the broadcast last night, they had mentioned it's kind of something similar where they're like, they're keeping Carolina outside of the middle of the ice, but they're like, Carolina is essentially like overthinking it on the power play because they don't have the space to go into the middle. They're just throwing the puck around. I think on one power play, I think they were pinched. I think the Rangers were pinched in their zone for like a minute 30, a minute 40 or something. They had one shot. They just spent nearly the entire power play just throwing the puck around to each other. And the Rangers couldn't clear it.
Aho would ring the puck around the boards a lot because they, like you said, they mentioned it, but like the Rangers got rid of their bumper, which is like such a big part of their game with Jarvis on either that one side and he gets it to Svechnikov on the bumper. Like once they contained Aho, like he had the ringing around the boards a couple times and then you just start shifting and it's just nothing brewing.
No. And I mean, like, the two goals they scored yesterday, both deflection goals. So it's like, can't do a ton about that. If someone gets a stick on the puck and changes the direction of it. So I don't know. Carolina has a lot of soul searching to do, but one thing that, Witt had mentioned on Chicklets today, and I didn't even really think about it because I totally forgot he wasn't playing. The Carolina penalty kill is severely missing Brett Pesce.
And Jesper Fast.
Guys. Those guys, they lug a lot of those penalty kill minutes. And they're just, they have a hole in their, they have two holes in their penalty kill lineups right now in both units. So, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know the series is going to be tough.
Bro, Raleigh's a tough place to play. Raleigh's
Raleigh's.
Like, I could easily see this being 2-2. I know I'm not trying to burst any bubbles, but like
this is
a brutal place to play.
I mean, yeah, they sell that place out almost every game, or if not every game, during the regular season. It's going to be sold out in the playoffs. It's going to be loud. I think best case scenario, I mean, like best case scenario, it's not going to happen. The Rangers somehow sweep. That's not going to happen. It's not. I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not saying best case scenario is, and you're going to make fun of me again. But I was like, what are the scenarios in which the Rangers win a game, lose a game? Because I am of the mindset, go into Carolina, split the series, that there's a high probability and likelihood you split the series in Carolina. There's also a high probability you lose both games in Carolina. It's very both things can happen. I am in the camp of you split the series in Carolina. For me, I would much rather. And for any Rangers who are listening, you know, let's work this into the game plan, please. Win game three, lose game four if you're going to split the series. Because if you win game three and you go up 3-0, you have the opportunity to close game four. And even if you lose game four, you're still going back home to the Garden. And Carolina's still down 3-1. You close it at the Garden if you want. Again, it's just me thinking best case scenario being an absolute psychopath.
I mean, but, yeah, if you split it, like, you're fine no matter what, really. Like, close it out in five. If not, you got seven at home. Like, split it, and I split it.
Yeah, if they split the series and can't close it out in five, it's gonna go seven. Like, that's just gonna happen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because also too, Carolina is an aggressively terrible road team in the playoffs. Like, they do not win games on the road, generally speaking. But also a really interesting stat that I saw or that they mentioned on the broadcast last night. The Rangers are now 1-4 in playoff games that go into double overtime. They had previously lost all four matchups in which
That's not many double overtime games. That surprises me.
No. Carolina, on the other hand, almost an equally, if not worse, record, 1-9, now 1-10 in games that go into double overtime.
It was 1-8 before this year, baby.
Yeah. So in the span of like 2 weeks, you've added two losses to your double overtime record, which was already pretty aggressively terrible.
That's crazy. But I mean, like, only played five in their history. That blows my mind, actually. But
yeah, when they mentioned that on the broadcast, I didn't even equate it to it being like such a low number. But when you think about a team that's been around for almost 100 years, the fact that they've only played in now five double overtime playoff games, it's kind of, yeah, it is kind of insane.
I can think of, like, in the last, like, in my fanhood of the Islanders, I can think of like three, like, at the minimum, including the one this year. Like, it's, I don't know, much more common, I guess, and very interesting.
Some other notes on just the series so far. Mika's turning it on even more so than he was against the Capitals. So,
yeah,
he's looked really impressive. He's got 11 points in six games. Trocheck was, I mean, first star last night. He was the MVP of last night. I mean,
he's a heck of a player.
And I mean, he didn't look good in faceoffs yesterday, comparatively to game one. But this is an interesting point. They had Keith Yandel on today on Chicklets, and he had mentioned it because they played together in Florida for a bit, and then he said they just kind of like kept in touch a little bit. And this isn't like Trocheck said this, but he made the point where he essentially said Trocheck getting traded to Carolina, or signing with Carolina, I don't know if he got traded or signed there. That's what I thought. Was probably one of the best things to happen to him in his career, because he essentially got to study under Jordan Staal. And he said Trocheck in the faceoff kind of reminds him of Jordan Staal now, a guy who's pretty much been dominant in the faceoff circle the last, 17 years of his career.
yeah, I mean, you can't get a better person to study under that. I mean, how bad do you think Carolina's kicking themselves, though? Because the same offseason they lost him was the year they offered Shady Kotkaniemi as kind of like an FU to Montreal. And I think Kotkaniemi's making like $500,000 less, which is – it's a less cap hit, but man, could you imagine the roles reversed? Like, Carolina's got Trocheck right now. I mean, they're a totally different team. For a 2C, he's about as big of a game changer as you can get. I mean, he plays in all situations. He wins faceoffs. Like, he's the ultimate 5-tool player.
Yeah, he's looked amazing. I mean, last night he fucking, I mean, insane. Hold on, let me pull it up. Let me see if they have it. He lugged 35 minutes last night of ice time.
Yeah, he led all skaters, which is insane for a forward. Never happens for a forward.
No. Just absolutely. He went sicko mode yesterday.
The rage in Italian, man.
But I
mean, he's like everything Islanders Twitter thinks Pajot is.
but yeah, I mean, the team's just clicking right now. Everyone, all four lines are doing everything they can right now. Let me see. God damn it, I didn't want to do that. I had accidentally backed out of this. Hold on one second. Let me see. Kako. 0. Wenberg, 0. And who else is on that line? I think Cooley, 1. Okay, so the Kako, Wenberg, Cooley line have still not been on the ice for a goal, but Cooley was on the ice for a goal. Or they haven't been on the ice for a goal against, but Cooley is the only one that's been on the ice for a goal. So still pretty impressive. Need a little bit more production from them, but they're doing other things, which is just as important. Trouba looked really bad last night. It's probably one of the worst games I think I've seen him play in a while.
He did the Scott Mayfield Stadium Series special. He took 3 minor penalties. Gotta love it.
Took 3 penalties.
I think he legitimately would have been suspended for I'm not even kidding. I think it would have been 7 or 8 games if that elbow connected on Natchez.
Oh my god, dude. I mean, like,
he would have gotten the contrary treatment 100%.
The one angle I was like, it didn't look bad. And then they showed the angle of him skating towards him, that back and angle, and that elbow, goes up.
Yeah.
And I've really seen Jeff Merrick today said, like, there's a likelihood that he was trying to throw an elbow at Natchez, but he also said there could also be a world where he, you know, saw Natchez fall and he's like, oh shit, I've already launched myself, I'm going straight into and I'm like, I tend not to believe that second one because it did look pretty bad. But I mean, absolute clown show Pittsburgh media today, just pulling out the rule book, being like, it doesn't matter if a hit connects or not, it's the intent, whether it's connects or doesn't connect, and he should be match penalty suspended for 20 games. And I'm like, these guys, Jacob Trouba melt, he did what Tom Wilson did to Rangers fans a couple years ago.
Pretty much. Rangers should sign David Steckel to their team, really. Make Pittsburgh mad. The guy who concussed Crosby a couple years ago. Oop, 4-1.
And like, Florida. I don't even.
Nice play.
And I thought that. And I thought the Trouba, like, still of him, like, just crashing in, like, fully vertical or horizontal, crashing into the boards. I mean, that was an electric picture. But it was topped by that Trocheck celebration picture where he's like, whole team is surrounding him, he's just looking at the stands like bang,
battle of the bastards, like, vibes.
Yeah, I was like, this is fucking, like, the vibes could not be any higher, like, just looking at that photo for me. So yeah, man, I'm just happy right now. I'm ready for a long run. And also to just prove how crazy I am, hold on, I need to get up and grab this real quick.
Oh boy.
I have only worn this shirt. So this shirt has all my mojo right now. It's my 2020 playoff shirt. I believe it's 2020. Yeah, it was the 2020 season where they got swept by Carolina. I bought this 2020 No Quit New York shirt. I've worn it pretty much. So out of the six games the Rangers have played, and I've worn it for five. The only game I didn't wear it was the game two against the Caps, where the Caps almost won that game, or could have won that game. Every other game, though, Rangers have sealed the victory. Kind of gross. I'm not washing the shirt until they lose. Like, it's preserved in my room. I hang it on my bed, and when I'm not wearing, and then if it's not on my bed, I just hang it on the back of my computer chair where I work. When I'm sleeping, so like it just moves from one area to another, or it's on my body at all times. So Rangers got a lot of mojo going right now. Everything's looking up for the Rangers. Hopefully they can split the series in Carolina and close this out in five or six games. Series is over if the Rangers win one in Carolina, because even if they split the series and then lose in the Garden, you've already won on the road. We have a series. And that's about it. Other playoff series going on right now. It is... Oh my God. I didn't even realize Slayman. This game started again, and it's 4-1 Panthers.
Slayman got the yank. He got pulled.
Now do you think they start Ullmark in game three?
Absolutely. I don't think you have a choice.
Interesting. I don't know how Bruins I think that's gonna be a very divisive decision in Boston, because I think there's going to be a lot of people there that say give Swayman another shot, and there's going to be the people who say Swayman's out, Ullmark's in.
I think it's like a no harm move, right? Like Swayman got kind of battered tonight. It's 1-1. If you lose, it's still 2-1. You got Swayman to go back to. You know, I don't think it's too bad of a move, but I don't know. That series might be more interesting than people thought. So I'm curious to see how
that. I mean, after game one, people on Twitter were. The Bruins fans were like, the series is over. We've won the series. I'm like, it's a game. What? So, I mean, interesting. We already talked about Rangers, Carolina. We have Canucks, Oilers tonight. I'm probably not going to stay up to watch that game. I might watch the first period.
Not too intrigued by that series, to be honest with you.
The five games?
I don't know. Vancouver, I think it'd be six.
Fair enough. And then last night, Stars absolutely imploded.
That was bad. That was bad. Up 3-0 at the start of the second. I mean, that's Islanders vibes, to be fair, so I can't really talk, but like, that's a backbreaker when you're at home, man.
And I think like what made that victory even sweeter for Avs fans and just hockey fans in general is that goal went they scored on Otter, and Glassbanger is right behind him, just like standing there defeated,
so disappointed.
Yep.
So Glassbanger, he ate shit last night. We'll talk about our first round predictions.
Yeah, I just wrote them down a little bit below our agenda and our login information. Starting off real quick, we can just run through them super quick. We both had the Rangers in six, wrapped up much quicker than expected.
But not entirely right. So we get a half point there.
We gave the Capitals too much credit. Next series, you had Carolina in six, and I do not want to talk about it. I had Islanders in seven.
I got a half point there, so I have one point.
That works. You had Florida in seven. I had Florida in six, so that wrapped up in five. So
half point.
We're both on it, but we gave Tampa too much credit. I think five was kind of shocking to both of us.
I was actually genuinely surprised Tampa bowed out that quick.
Yeah. This one, we were both spot on with the game. Seven-game series. I took Boston. You took Toronto. But, man, I mean, overtime game seven could have won either way. So I think that's a plus for both of us there.
I'm not going to take any points. That's all you for being correct. But, I mean, just like the way it ended, I don't think we – yeah, we didn't record. You know, that game was this past weekend. So, I mean, like just the way that it ended, I mean, like it'll be, I think, ingrained or engraved into everyone's, whatever it is, into everyone's memory of Pasta essentially just being left alone, Marner not jumping into the play, Riley not jumping into the play, leaving Samsonov out. Yeah, I mean, Samsonov was just left out to dry there against Pasta. It was expected at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it like the next day. I watched it a little bit more, and I know we texted about it, but I was like, Marner coasting was bad, but it's not really his job to go into the corner. I thought the Riley one on second thought was much worse because he was just, for being your best defenseman, just gliding in there. Like, it's game seven overtime, brother. Like, move your feet. Like, that was bad.
And people were jumping down Willie's throat because they said he was in the neutral zone not doing anything. I'm like, it's not
his guy.
It's not, yeah. But also, I'm like, William Nylander was the team once he came back. Would he score 3 goals in 3 games?
Yeah, exactly.
Toronto does not fucking – they deserve Marner. They don't deserve Nylander.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know what the worst part is? Marner holds all the cards. You essentially have to live with Marner for another year because he's not going to move his no-move clause. He's not going to waive it.
Probably not for many teams, no. In the West, we both had Dallas in 6. That went 7. So I'm not sure. This is – oh, to be fair, though, I don't think we can really count these series because I think we had it as Edmonton-Vegas when we recorded. So because it says that – yeah.
I had both. So I said – Vegas in 7. Yeah, so initially I said – yeah, I had it Dallas-Kings, Dallas in 6, but if they play Vegas, 7. And then I had Edmonton-Vegas – coin flip, Vegas in 7 if they play at Edmonton, but if they play the Kings, Edmonton in 6.
Yeah, makes sense. We both took Nashville in 7, which, you know, I thought Nashville played a good hard series, man. A couple blown leads late. That game with Besser getting the hat trick was the kiss of death, but and they lost 1-0 in 6, you know? That's how it goes.
What a snooze fest that was. I mean, just if you're a fan of either team, an absolute snooze fest of the game.
Crazy. And then the biggest blunder by both of us, we had Winnipeg, Jets in 7. Connor Hellebuck turned into a pumpkin. So you know what? Such is life.
Yeah, that's probably the only series. And what's funny is I think when we initially talked about it, I think I said I was more nervous about Dallas than I was Winnipeg, and it turned out to be the exact opposite. I should have been behind Dallas more and worried about Winnipeg.
Insane. We both got screwed by that one. But, yeah, pretty good job overall.
But, I mean, my final 4 is still intact.
I think mine is too. I had Rangers, Florida, and Dallas, Edmonton, I think. Not bad.
I have Dallas, Edmonton, Rangers, Florida as well.
Very nice.
My final might be fucked. I have Rangers, Dallas, and I don't know if they can get by the Avs.
Yeah, Avs do. Avs are going on a mission.
It's 2022 all over again.
Pretty much. The last thing I wanted to talk about was while we were recording this, Elliot Friedman quote tweeted Ryan Smith's tweet about the don't look at it yet because I want your first initial reactions of some of these names. He put out their Qualtrics survey of pick up to 4 of your favorite Utah team names. So I'm not going to read them all because there's like, you know what? We'll read them all. I would love to get your first reactions on this.
All right, go one by one, and I'll tell you my reaction with each name.
The first one is so bad. Utah Blast.
Yeah, that sounds like a soda, but that sucks.
Also reminds me of Blasty, our boy. Long live Blasty.
Long live the king.
Utah Outlaws. Not bad.
Whatever.
It doesn't spark anything. Utah Venom.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of nice. Utah Canyons.
That sucks. Your team name and mascot are going to just be the Grand Canyon. Fuck off.
Yeah, a little bit of a shot at Arizona there, are we doing? Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
These two are kind of in the same elk because not elk, ilk, whatever. Because I think Utah is the bee state. They have Utah Hive and Utah Swarm on there.
I actually don't mind either. They're both fine.
Not bad. Or like if you go with the Swarm, like your arena, your fans are the Hive. Like it's kind of cool. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I'd rather go with Swarm than Hive. Yeah, I'd rather team names Swarm, the arena, the Hive.
Kind of honestly, kind of sick.
You just play a buzzing noise during like penalty during like a penalty kill. Just have a bzzz going the entire time. That would be interesting.
Honestly, we should get
what's stopping them from doing it.
I agree. Utah Glaciers.
That's dumb as fuck.
Just gives me too much avalanche vibes.
But also, what? There's no fucking glaciers in Utah.
Also, such a valid point. The Utah Fury.
That sucks.
Utah HC. I swear to God, if they do that, I'm done.
Honestly, I kind of fuck with that if they do it for like one season. Like first season, if they just went with if one season, I can live with that. But yeah, like in general, moving forward, no, that sucks.
Yeah. The Utah Freeze.
Again, I feel like they're just trying to be the Avs.
It gives me like WNBA vibes, with all due respect to the WNBA.
Yeah, that does that yeah, like an early 2000s MLS team or like a WNBA.
Yeah. 100%. The Utah Blizzard.
It's whatever.
Sounds like Avs again, man.
Yeah,
One I think is probably like
we have Avs at home.
This one seems like the crowd favorite on Twitter, the Utah Yeti.
Yeah, I mean, like I've seen that thrown around a bunch. That would be sick.
That would be sick. The Utah Squall, Snow Squall.
I mean, is that like their state bird? I don't even think that is their state bird. Bird is something else.
I remember a couple of years ago because they were talking about it in New Jersey. It's like it's a snow squall, so it's just a fast rush of snow, essentially, which once again is an avalanche, essentially.
So apparently, the Utah state bird is the California gull.
Seems a little backwards, but you know what?
Yeah. So I mean, like, but I mean, if you just go by the Utah gulls, I mean, that's still that's actually terrible.
A couple more. We have the Utah caribou.
That's actually kind of sick.
I thought you might vibe with that one.
I do vibe with that one, but like also how much caribou is in Utah. That seemed more like that's if Alaska were ever to get expansion team, they gotta be the caribou.
Alaska caribou, that's kind of sick. The Utah Frost. Again, WNBA vibes.
Lame.
This is a personal one that made me laugh a little bit. I can't even say it without laughing. The Utah Black Diamonds.
That's pretty fucking stupid, but also like it's too close to an already like coined hockey term in Black Aces, so it just doesn't make sense.
True. These two, we have three more. These two are kind of similar. The Utah Ice and the Utah Powder.
Those are both fucking lame.
Yeah.
And then if you go with Utah Powder, you might as well give people cocaine in the arena.
There you go. That's a marketing strategy. And then the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, whatever. That's cool too.
So I think we like Yeti, Caribou, Hive, Yeti, Caribou, and Swarm is I think the ones that we're like on board with.
Yeah, I've heard them all again, Yeti and Swarm are like the two I think they should definitely go with.
Swarm would be kind of sick.
But I mean, again, they won't do this, but like the fan favorite. On Twitter, at least.
Oh, no.
That wasn't included is a great Mormon tradition. I will leave it at that.
But that was all. Good. We'll see what happens.
Oh, dude, they could be the Utah Latter-day Skates.
Classic.
Oh, dude. Oh, fuck. I need to submit that. Get me on Gary's line and dial Gary, dial Ryan Smith, and we're cooking with gas.
But yeah, good stuff. But yeah, I think that about wraps it up, right? Rangers are looking good, and then we'll see how tomorrow goes.
Yeah, big game tomorrow. And then I was actually just going back to it real quick, genuinely surprised. And maybe I just like have a really shitty memory, which is also probably true. Because in the first round, you play two games, like you play a game, day off, play a game, and then they gave teams like 2 or 3 days off to travel, and then you played a game, and then it was back and forth after that. Unless I just don't remember, I was genuinely shocked that they're just doing game off, game off, game off, game off.
Yeah.
But again, maybe I just have poor memory, which is probably.
I'm not sure, honestly. To be completely honest with you.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, it was just something that I noticed, and I was like, that's interesting.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Leave us a 5-star rating, nice review. Follow the podcast Twitter account at From Broad to Bell. I'm not going to say I'm going to do third period stuff because I haven't, and the Rangers have been winning, so I won't do it.
Can't switch up the mojo. Exactly.
And yeah, we'll probably be back next week. And I mean, the vibes next week, the vibes can be really, should be really high, because there's a very, very real possibility the Rangers have won the series and moved on to the conference finals.
It's very possible. It's very, very possible. Because, I mean, there's going to be – let's see. You guys got a game tomorrow. So the 9th, the 11th, it'd be, so Saturday. I think
tomorrow, Saturday, Monday. So by next Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, they would
even – Yeah, game 6 is Thursday. So I don't know, man. It's possible.
So they play tomorrow, game 3. Then they play game 4 Saturday. And then when do they play game 5? Tuesday.
Monday. And then they have 2 games off before 6.
What the fuck?
Depends on travel, I guess.
Probably the Knicks schedule, too.
Yeah, probably. That's true. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully good news. But if not next week, then the following week. The podcast Indeed. Will either be really happy or we will never record again. thanks for listening, Kevin. You got anything else?
No, sir.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.